What if you get not a positive review, but a negative review? What if a client goes on to some platform and trashes you as the lawyer? This can happen to prosecutors too. And there is an inclination, it's not a client in that instance, but there may be complaining witness or someone involved in a case, police officers, etc. There was a very ugly case down in Corpus. Some of you may have seen the video where the officers got irritated with a particular prosecutor and recorded all their interactions with them and posted them on YouTube. It's real tempting to want to come back at the person and tell them, how dare you, you're out of line. But what do? Can we have to be careful that we don't reveal confidential information. If you're the state, of course, you don't have a client, you don't have confidential information, but we have a duty to maintain the integrity of the judicial system, all of us. So you have to be careful that you don't come back out at them, guns blazing and violating those rules. So you can do something, you can say something about it, but you got to make sure that you are cautious in your approach into how you want to respond to that. Some other recent changes in our appellate rules, and I'm sorry, I know I'm rolling from one topic to another quickly here, but I'm going to try to get in as much as I can in this hour. There will be no good segues here. I'm just moving along. All right, technology. It matters. This is me. I almost did it technology today. See, I can't even say it. Every now and then, I still fight with e-filing. I don't know about the rest of you, but there are occasions when even that basic thing is enough for me. Michael caught up this morning and confessed to WordPerfect user. That is me. I use both WordPerfect and Word, but I will go to my grave loving WordPerfect more than Word. For those of you, Stacy, if that's your bailiwick. And so I struggle with Word sometimes. Technology is a problem, but guess what they told us? We have a duty to stay up to date. 101 and competent representation includes we must strive to become and remain proficient with relevant technology. We're subject to disciplinary action for failing to keep up, especially with trends that protect storage and transfer of sensitive client information. Many offices are going paperless or getting closer and closer to that. You got to be careful how you're storing that data about your client. Do everything you can with your firewalls, backups, and all the precautions in place. The other thing I would suggest if you were on the defense side, public defender or private practice, we need to have a cutoff point for when we're not going to keep that data anymore if you don't want to keep it for the rest of your life. I've been practicing since 1991 and I haven't thrown away files yet. I'm paying for a lot of storage space that I need to get rid of. But that fear that always lives in me of somebody coming back and wanting some papers out of the file. And most of those were old school paper files. Now that I do things data-wise, it's a lot easier. But even better is if you decide you want to get rid of files after a certain period of time. The state bar gives very ambiguous definition for us of how long to keep those files. And that is essentially as long as it's necessary for any part of the case. Wow, we've got writs. You know, you got a murder case you did. You know, you could see that coming up many, many years from now. I suppose if the client passes away, that might be one ground for being able to get rid of the file, but it's pretty hard otherwise. But if you have a policy in your office that 5 years after the last possible date that you could file anything for the client is when you're going to destroy it, I'd put it up front in your contract, and then I would send a letter to that client too saying, we're about to delete your file. If you want a copy, come get it now. If you don't come within 30 days, it's gone. That's going to protect you. It also means you have fewer files laying around that somebody could hack into, exposing you to the risk of having let out that attorney-client privilege. So think about how you want to deal with it and worry about it. But the good news about all this technology thing is you can hire somebody if you don't want to learn how to do it for yourself. Several years ago, I did a federal appeal, and I don't do those very often. I had to get several law clerks to come and help me early on. Because, you know, their record is electronic on the federal side, and your citations have to be in a particular way that actually link to the record. So the courts can click right on and see if you're telling the truth about whether that's in the record or not. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not trying to give suggestions to the court because it's a real pain for us as lawyers on both sides. But I wouldn't be surprised if someday we're doing that in state court as well. It does make life a lot easier once you learn how to do it. but that initial learning curve can be rough for us. Hire out, get somebody to train you, and you've covered yourself on the competency. This is me. This is my happy face. Ha, not at all. We all have these videos now, and even on appeals and writs and so forth, you're looking at, Judge mentioned earlier about the case in which there was a silence on the audio. They didn't know there was silence. I mean, they thought there was silence. It turns out there was audio. You know, there may have been appellate lawyers who were have to go back and look at all of this and listen to this audio over and over again. It's tough. These things are long. We begged for the longest time for body-worn cameras, I think on both sides of the aisle. And now we've got them, and we wonder why we kept asking for them, because, boy, they're long. So what do you do with them? You know, you got to read these. You got to transcribe them. You got to listen to them. Can you hire out? Can you get somebody else to do that for you? Yes, you can. But anytime we outsource any kind of handling from the defense side of that client's work, you've got to make sure that the third party has been vetted by you. Now, if you get a court reporter, you're golden, right? Certified court reporter, they understand the duty to maintain confidentiality. They can do this, great. But there are a lot of these services, and there's a lot of software that people like to use. I've tried a few of them out. Some of them work not so well, but you have a duty to vet them. You got to see who are their employees. How do they vet their own employees that they hire? Do they just...